Republicans are continuing their push for tax cuts after releasing details of their plan last week. Some Republicans, though, aren't ready to vote for the plan. Yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma said that he may vote against the plan if it increases the debt too much.
I'm actually not comfortable with increasing the debt. This is something that's been a behind-the-scenes conversation for a long time. It's one thing to be able to cut taxes. It's another thing to be able to say, how are we going to deal with our debt and deficit?
Others are more confident that tax cuts will go through. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan speaking yesterday on Fox News Sunday.
We have to have tax reform. We have to have tax cuts for people in the middle. This delivers that, and we really are convinced this is going to help get our economy growing and reaching its potential. You have to do this in order to do that, and that's why we want to get it done this year so we can have a very good 2018 and get stronger economic growth. And so, yes, we're on track for moving this through the House before Thanksgiving. That's our plan. We expect our friends in the Senate to be about a week behind us.
Economists, policymakers, and business owners, meanwhile, are trying to sift through what kind of impact the tax plan might have. Joining us now is former U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Larry Summers, who served in the Clinton and Obama administrations. He's also President Emeritus of Harvard University. Secretary Summers, welcome back.
Glad to be with you.
And you say that this plan will harm growth, which is the opposite of what's being promised. Why do you think it will harm economic growth?
Mainly because the increase in the budget deficit that will result will mean higher interest rates, which will discourage investment. Secondarily, because the design of the plan will likely increase various inefficiencies between different types of capital by encouraging various kinds of tax shelters.
Explain. What are you talking about there?
So the proposal will cut taxes very substantially on passively owned businesses that already don't pay the corporate tax. That's the so-called pass-through provision, which will operate primarily to increase tax shelter investments, and by increasing tax shelter investments, reduce the efficiency with which capital is allocated. You know, from the point of view of how the economy performs, it depends on two things. It depends on how much investment there is, and it depends on how productive the investment is. This bill may well reduce investment by increasing interest rates. That's the budget deficit aspect. And it may well reduce the productivity of investment by encouraging tax shelters, by cutting the taxes on tax shelters.
And on your first point about the increase in the deficit, we're talking about a $1.5 trillion increase in debt over 10 years. You think that that actually could harm growth by pushing the Fed to raise interest rates further?
I think it will both push the Fed to raise interest rates further, and it will push the longer-term rate of interest up just because there'll be more bonds sold and the expectation that more bonds will have to be sold. You know, everybody talks about how QE, when the Fed buys bonds, reduces interest rates. The same logic says that when the government sells bonds, it will increase interest rates.
What do you think about the corporate tax cut that's in this plan that would drop it down to 20%?
I think it's extremely expensive. I think it quite likely will ultimately have the effect of pushing capital investment offshore, because we move from the principle that U.S. companies pay taxes on all of their income to the principle that U.S. taxes companies only pay taxes primarily on their U.S. income. True, there is a global minimum tax contained in the proposal, but there are various ways of avoiding that global minimum tax. And so I think for many companies, the advantage of moving investment to Europe or moving investment to a tax haven will be increased by this proposal.
So you don't think that the current tax rate for corporations is too high competitively around the world?
I think there's a case. I think this I could support and would support a proposal which brought down the corporate rate somewhat, not nearly as far as to 20%. Did so in a way that was revenue neutral, paid for by closing a range of corporate sheltering opportunities, cracked down on income that avoided paying taxes through the use of tax havens. And a strategy of that kind I believe would be a prudent tax reform that would increase the efficiency of the economy and might even bring some investment home from abroad. But this tax reform is designed as a giveaway to the owners of old capital, those now earning monopoly profits, and those in the best position to exploit various kinds of what we call tax arbitrages that basically change the accounting without changing the reality so as to reduce total taxation.
How concerned are you about the elimination of the state and local tax breaks in this plan, which help people in high tax states like New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and California? They'd be the ones who would be hurt by this plan.
I think that's a value judgment. On balance, my judgment would be that those provisions are ill-advised because they'll make it more difficult to provide some of the most generous benefits that our country provides and provide some of the kinds of public goods like the New York Library that are provided in our leading cities and states. But that's an issue where reasonable people could differ, unlike some of the corporate tax issues where I think it's pretty clear that what's envisioned here is just a giveaway to special interests.
Are there any parts of this plan that you've seen so far that you like?
I like the concept that we're going to have tax reform, even if I don't like the details. And I like the idea of an expansion of the child credit. That's why I'm so sorry to see the budget gimmicks contained in the plan that cause it to help lower and middle income families in the first year, but then cause those benefits to be removed very quickly over the next half dozen years, whereas the breaks for rich people mushroom over time, with, for example, the magnitude of the estate tax cuts growing towards total elimination in 6 years.
Do you think that something close to what we've seen is going to pass?
I certainly hope not. I certainly hope that Congress will do its congressional and constitutional duty, and that if something passes, it will be really quite different from the current proposals.
As we've been watching the debate over tax cuts in Washington, we've also been watching the stock market rally to record levels. Do you think, number one, that those two things are connected, and number two, that this rally is in trouble, especially if there is no tax reform package?
I know better than to predict the stock market. My sense, based on what I hear from those who trade the stock market, and based on looking at different companies, those that are most affected by tax reform and those that would be much less affected by tax reform, is the tax reform is at most a minor factor explaining movements in the stock market.
One more thing, Larry Summers, while we have you. What do you think of President Trump's pick to head the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell?
Well, I first want to say that I think the country should be grateful to Janet Yellen for the superb job she has done as a public servant over many, many years at the Council of Economic Advisors, at the San Francisco Fed, as vice chairman of the Fed, and especially as chairman of the Fed for these last 4 years. I've known Jay Powell a long time. He's a very honorable, very thoughtful person who has now been immersed in the work of the Federal Reserve for 5 years. And I think he has every potential to carry on the very good work that Janet Yellen has done.
You think his tenure will be almost like a continuation of Yellen, or will it be different?
Yeah, I think every Fed chair finds their own way. And I would be surprised if there were not some significant events. I don't know what they'll be, a major move in markets or a decline in the economy into recession, or an international event that will be defining of Jay Powell's term. And so I'd be surprised if, when historians look back, they simply see it as a period of continuity, not so much because his policy preferences are profoundly different from Janet Yellen's, than because I think the economic environment rarely stands still.
Are you worried about a recession right now?
I'm not worried for the very near term, but I am worried that recessions do come, probably a 20% a year chance of recessions coming. And traditionally, our nation's anti-recession strategy has been a 5 percentage point cut in the federal funds rate, the Federal Reserve's interest rate. And there's not likely to be anything like that amount of room when the next recession comes. And that suggests that we have that we're in a more brittle economy than we're used to. And I'm not sure that brittleness is something that's been fully taken on board. And it seems to me that when Chairman Powell thinks about monetary policy strategy issues, that question of what will monetary policy's capacity to respond to the next recession be has to loom very large.
That's former U.S. Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Good to be with you.
One of many voices on the Republican tax cut plan. We'll be hearing from more, and you can listen to our other conversations at hearandnow.org.